Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so excited to keep this journey with the AEC Integration Summit leading in and out of that in Austin. And super stoked we got Nathan Wood back here with us today. And this is our third episode of the 2025 AEC Integration Summit, where we're leading into that and having all kinds of great conversations. And this one, I'm so excited and so passionate because it's all about moving this industry forward and bringing initiatives around that and how to do that. And the main message today is about lessons learned from the Teach It Forward. This was the tagline of this vertical at the AEC Integration Summit in 2024 and moving into 2025. And we're super excited to have Benny in coming into the conversation, where he works with DeWalt, Stanley Black & Decker is a large tool company, and they're doing so much many cool things to get involved in technology. And how this benefits you is that working to move up and downstream with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators and the subcontractors from within. And we're going to unpack this great initiative around growing the trades and talking through the Teach It Forward from the AEC Integration Summit, all tied through our Master Facilitator, the one and only Nathan Wood, our co-host on this series and the founder of the Construction Progress Coalition, leading all those conversations in and out of the AEC Integration Summit. So I'm going to give you my perspectives, have Nathan talk about that, and we're going to get to know Benny and have as much fun as possible. And my big perspectives here is we need to utilize system-built construction, and we have to figure out the right people that can help us take action. And that's exactly what Benny and the team are doing, and figure out how we can reverse mentor with the next wave of construction professionals. And they're doing so much to teach it forward and help with that and utilize these different technologies to do just that and document so much of this tribal knowledge to move this industry forward. And that's really the lens that I'm coming through. It's all about teaching it forward, which this podcast, Kindling on the Art of Construction, is all about. Nathan, welcome. And what's your perspectives for today?
Oh, Devin, man, I appreciate the intro. And one footnote correction. So I can't claim as official founder. I may have submitted the 501c3 paperwork in 2017, but excited to have Benny here because, man, he's one of a few of the OG founders that came from different organizations, the Construction Open Standards Alliance. So really excited to have his perspective here. Excited to talk about the Teach It Forward team and their presentation, which by far was my favorite, I think probably most entertaining presentation by far. And if you haven't seen it, if you know Hamza or Sal D'Ambrosio or Jared Chrisman, I swear they are all destined for Broadway because they put on a good show. But excited to have Benny here, talk about that team, talk about what's going on and dive into it.
Totally agree. And we're going to unpack a little bit that on our fireside chat here and put all that stuff into the show notes. What do you say? Let's go have as much fun as possible and learn Benny's story and build from there. Huh, Nathan?
Yeehaw. Let's do it.
All right. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Oh, I got to say coffee. Love me some coffee. Got
all
some right now.
We got our coffee. Now we're getting going after this. What is your favorite place that you've traveled, Benny?
I gotta say it's Italy. The food and the coffee, insanely good. Fond memories. And the wine.
Nice. Any stories from Italy?
Nothing that's fit for the podcast.
All right. Well, we'll leave that for Benny to tell us a story when you come to the AEC Integration Summit. What is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
So I still love to play soccer, getting older and older, but still trying to get out there and kick the ball. It's the only thing that makes me want to just run around the field and exercise.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Benny Baltrotsky. What's your story that led you to being the VP of Partnerships and Go-To Market at DeWalt Construction Technologies?
Yeah, so it was a great story. So I've been in the construction technology industry for many years. And after getting to work with some large MEP contractors, I really realized that model-based construction is where it was going. And a lot of people weren't using the data from the model to sort of impact their construction. And I met this company, M Suite, that Britton Langdon had founded. And I was really blown away because they were using the model and that data in it to lead the prefab process. So they're actually extracting that information to dictate how things went through the fabrication shop to the field. And so I joined M Suite to help grow that company. And we had a partnership with Stanley Black & Decker. Stanley Ventures had actually invested in M Suite, and we were helping DeWalt with a hangers product. And with that relationship, we had a great partnership. Things were going well. There was a good culture fit. And so they actually acquired us a little over 2 years ago. So M Suite is now part of DeWalt Construction Technology. And that's what really kicked it off. We brought all of our technology together under one group, the DeWalt Construction Technology. But that was my journey through. It was actually from joining M Suite and my just passion for moving the trades forward with technology.
That's awesome. And even if we want to go even further back than that, because when we first met, I don't think BIM was, fully, I mean, I guess you're certainly BIM curious, but I wouldn't put you in the categorization of a BIM guy, because your expertise was really around like that project management operations, kind of blocking and tackling of the AGC XMLs and RFIs and submittals and payups and whatnot. I guess, like, how does that tie into, or how does that fit into either how BIM has fit in, or I guess, yeah, like, tell us a little bit of that story of led you to pioneer that stuff and how that all came together.
Yeah, no, that's, I think it's really great. So in 07, I started a company, co-founded, that would help trade contractors with project management. And that's, I think, where they were at that time, right? It was like a lot of paper pushing and sort of risk mitigation that was going on. But all that risk mitigation, all that paper pushing was sort of the end result of everything that was happening upstream. And I think we'll talk a little bit more, spoiler alert, in the Teach It Forward, right? It's like, okay, this was the end result. And so as we continued to drive, actually Autodesk had invested in that company, and it really opened my eyes to how other companies were utilizing Revit and utilizing the model to move construction forward. And I was like, wow, I think we can probably do a lot more upstream to help that downstream process. And that's where it really got me excited. So I think also the subcontractor moved a lot, right? So if you think of 2007, 2008, or even I think we met in 11 or 13, sometime around there, Nathan, like, it was very different. Like, BIM was this thing that, you mean, the architects used, some subs were getting into it. Most things were still done in CAD and sheets, and right, it wasn't quite there yet, or just, I mean, they weren't using anything.
And a lot of that industry is still there today. So that's what's kind of interesting is, yeah, like, there's enough of an upswell of folks that have really kind of gotten bitten by that bug of BIM and kind of what is possible with you call it model centric or data centric or, whatever. Because even a model, like, you think about it as a 3D model, or you can think of it as a data model. So I think there's so much to this just mindset that, I don't know, some of us, I think we obviously naturally have, but I know we're not the entire industry. And Devin, again, I don't know where you fall and kind of where the rest of the tribe falls as far as, like, how much do we have to communicate what it means to be digitally mined, and like this whole value proposition of the digital multiplier, like, how much do we have to continue to harp on that versus just do the work of, like, solving the challenges of actually achieving that goal? It's like we're doing both things at the same time. We're cheerleading for what's possible, but also, like, trying to figure out how to actually achieve what we're selling.
Yeah. And of all the pre-interviews, what's I've really enjoyed of just listening to Nathan and Benny rap about kind of memory lane of saying, Nathan, you talk about Benny being kind of one of the OGs of this thing of, like, working through in, companies that have been acquired to then work from within different lenses of understanding the analog and digital of, like, how hard it is to move this stuff. And I always make the comment of, boy, some days can be long in construction, but the years are short. Mm-hmm. And if you guys could just kind of walk the Art of Construction tribe through, like, just kind of some moments in time that we're going to unpack to then take a deeper dive into what DeWalt's all about and then the Teach It Forward. Because it's fascinating how much work you two have put in together at in and out of these different conversation points. And it's like, you have to have these great plans until you get punched in the face like COVID in the middle of it, right?
Right. Well, and Benny, I want your I guess, perspective on 2017, because I think that was from meeting in 2013. It probably took until 2017 to fully form the Construction Owners Open Standards Alliance and the Construction PDF Coalition that I came from in my GC perspective. But I think that meeting in 2017, talk about long days, but short years of thinking that we knew how to solve this RFI problem, something that we're still talking about today, but that we were getting very nitty gritty into specific data fields and taxonomies and API calls and like trying to get, you know, way too technical when we realized that, you know, we had to take a big step back into just why should this matter to each of these perspectives in the first place. But that was a big kind of eye-opening point for me. I don't know, Benny, what takeaways you had from that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's almost even a little before that, how we got there. I mean, I think from my side, right, I was more from the software side. There was something called AGC XML, which was initial standards, and right, they had some RFI standards, and then we decided, well, why don't we take that forward and started that Construction Open Standards Alliance. And what we realized, we didn't have the people, right? We might have the technology at the time. Okay, it's a data field, it's an API, but well, like, that doesn't matter. Nathan on the other side was dealing with the people and the process, and I think that's where we sort of missed. And when we got together for the first RFI summit in Denver, that brought together the technology and the people and process, I think it really opened all of our eyes to just how complex this is, right? It sounds
and how much work we have to do. Like last year was my first time at the AEC Integration Summit. And when you really get the people trying to talk through the process around the table from different fronts, that just doesn't happen at most trade shows. That was fascinating. And you know, I beginning of this talked about COVID in the middle of all this stuff, to where, like, just to pause here for a second and say, Nathan, really quickly, you said it took us 2013 to 2017 to kind of just take the first formulation of people, process, and the tools. To now we're in 2024, almost 2025, talking about how that step back to leap forward, and there's still a lot of that same stuff. Crazy when you think about how long it takes to move construction forward.
It really is. And what it takes is getting those different people that we keep talking about in the same room. And I think that's what's kind of the thread that from 2017 until today, what we've always been consistent about was that 2017 was 30 people in the room, tried to get, you know, 15 technology and 15 industry, again, mostly general contractors, trade contractors at the time. But, you know, more and more, we've tried to make the half of the industry be equal between the A, the E, the C, and the owners as well, and then get the technology representatives for each of those on the other side so we can really have a constructive conversation about how we appropriately need to share data, you know, contractually and kind of legally and risk-wise, but then also, you know, technically and feasibly. So if we can do that in a constructive way in the same room, it'd be amazing. But I think it was way overreaching to think that we could achieve that. It's almost a much slower conversation of really getting industry to understand, then inviting technology in. But in the meantime, technology has been our supporter. I mean, they've been the main financial supporter. Benny and others have been team leads that have actually facilitated the conversations, because, you know, we have to slowly lead the horse to that water. And I think that's what CPC's been trying to do all along.
Yeah. And we're going to unpack that, but I want to commend you both when you say the first one in 2017, where it's like, I was kind of the people and Benny coming from the software of 15 on each side. And last year seeing 50 plus of each of those with now some different master facilitators and gooey middle people in the middle, like me, who is in subcontracting, right? And putting that stuff together of what we have coined the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, and why we're so excited to be part of this platform. And we'll unpack that. But first, Benny, can you walk us through what is DeWalt Construction Technology all about? Because I raise my hand and say, I see the word DeWalt and I think of tools and my drills and my batteries. And above that, Stanley Black & Decker, but this construction technology, that's really what I'm excited for you to unpack for us today.
Yeah, definitely. So it's been a great journey here with DeWalt. But what we realized is our contractors, the trade contractors, the self-performing GCs that use our tools every day and use our anchors and fasteners, there's more that we can help them with upstream and looking at solutions for their business. So not just how do we help them in the field, But are there technologies that we can do that can help them from the office, from pre-construction, fabrication, to tool tracking, to even, we have products around concrete sensors that to help with maturity and thermal monitoring to speed up that construction process. So instead of looking at it at the final application, we are looking at the full solution for our trade contractors. So it's really important that we can come and help our trade contractors, not just with the tools, but with solutions that are going to help their business and drive productivity and safety is really what we're focused on, is how do we make people safer and more productive in their jobs.
So the initiative that I'm super excited for Benny to talk about that the is about growing the trades, like growing the master facilitators. And then we're going to talk about how the different master facilitators and the AEC integration summit all come together. And I commend, you know, Benny and the team and the company behind Benny continue from his story of M Suite to the acquisition to where we are here today to continue to invest in the master facilitators. Can you unpack when you say grow the trades, what that's all about, Benny?
Yeah, I wish I can't take credit for this. This is something that's been happening even before my time. And I mean, this is just something I get to ride the coattails of and the good things that we're doing here at DeWalt. But what we've done is we've set aside $30 million, a commitment by 2027, to support trade initiatives and support teaching that next generation about the skilled trades and moving the industry forward. And so last year in 2023, we did just about $10 million between grants and tools donated. And so a lot of this stuff is through your local UAs, IBEWs, those types of things. But then there's lots of other great programs that we're supporting, like helmets to hard hats, that help our industry move forward, help that next generation learn. Because as we know, right, there's a skilled trades gap. We talk about it a lot. And we have that sort of current generation that's about to move out. How do we move the industry forward by teaching the next generation?
I love that. Well, and I think so much of this, you know, when we come to why would a DeWalt Contech care to work with CPC and talk about open data with the trades and whatnot. And again, from a GC's perspective, I always think about the old saying, you know, the crap rolls downhill, right, to the trades. And would I ever say subcontractor? But at any rate, I think this whole point of data, I'm curious to get your thoughts, Benny, because I feel like you mentioned a few different tools there that create a ton of data, and they can create data for themselves as a trade contractor, but you can also decide, do I want to use that data to help protect myself or help, you know, get an advantage? Or there's the whole contract battles and who did what and when it got done is never going to go away. And I feel like too often trades kind of lose out because they don't have the data. So, you know, to me, I feel like this whole data play, like, it is potentially a great equalizer for the trade. But I don't know, Ben, if you have any thoughts or ideas around that.
I think it's just from our perspective is like, how do we make them more productive and a better contractor, right? And yeah. I can speak on the mechanical side. So we're going to give them a lot of data about their design and fabrication and where things are. And so I think as we continue to support the trade contractor and help them with that, it's just going to make a better process and a better contractor. I really do think the industry is evolving some away from, some of the he said, she said, right? But what can we really control from our side is, well, we can make our contractors the best contractors they are. If that means things through our products like M Suite or Site Manager, the tool and asset tracking and Tool Connect, how do we make them safer and more productive? It's really where we're focused.
I love that. Well, and I think, you know, back to the whole CPC conversation, and, you know, obviously you're passionate about things moving forward and have to, you know, tie that into the day job and everything. But I also think that, you know, from your perspective, coming from the technology side, from my perspective, coming from an industry side, the CPC in and of itself has evolved and sort of the purpose and the role have certainly shifted over these last 15 years. Like, what's your thought these days on, you know, not to put you on the spot, kind of like, what is the purpose of CPC as a board member and how we can help advance the industry?
Yeah, so it's really evolved over time, right? From sort of standards into sort of just community. But what I see today is getting the stakeholders around the table. And that's what we've been doing. And so too often, if you go to the MCAA trade show or the AGC trade show or the AIA trade show, right? These are all very specific, a trade contractor perspective, an architect, a general contractor's perspective. But we don't have people coming across the table. And so at the CPC, it's very unique because we're looking at these problems on how to move the industry forward, but bringing all the stakeholders together and discussing it. So it isn't, we're not going together and say, okay, Nathan's going to give you an hour-long presentation on blah. Maybe, right? We're going to sit down together and try to work through these problems and document them so we can teach the rest of the industry and the next generation. So it's not just people talking to people, right? It's sort of us working through these and then documenting these to make these processes better for the future.
I think that's well said. I think it goes to the point of the whole event itself, the Integration Summit, that we had taken a stance for a while of what there's so many events in the industry. Why do we need to have one more? We can just bring ours to other events. But I think you just made that point there. If when you come to a NECA, National Electrical Contractors Association, you come to one of these events, like you're going into their world. So it's naturally going to be a little bit biased. I think the fact that we are a truly neutral platform to invite those different perspectives there to bring their bias, but know it's sort of in this safe environment to kind of beat it up and see what we learn from it, I think has been kind of a unique gem that we found in all of this exploration.
Yeah, it eliminates a lot of the finger pointing because it's much easier when you're just talking to your same group to say it's all their fault or it's because they sent us the bad drawings versus like, okay, well, how can we make their drawings better? Yeah. How can we make their schedule better? Those types of things. Like let's work together and let's teach the industry.
I love it.
I love that. And one of our parallels is I got to be part of different window manufacturers councils. And I see a lot of similarities. Like if you go to that specialty thing, it's like what their agenda is. And then we started, this is our seventh year of the window dealer owner council. And now it's the business owners that don't compete coming together. And it's fascinating how different the conversations are, even though on the outskirts, you'd think they'd be very similar, right? Because you have different agendas and you have to focus in and out at different ways. And that's my favorite thing around that. And this next kind of thing we're going to go through is talking through highlighting to where last year was the first time I got to go to the conference. And this year I'm a lot more involved of like of the in and out of last year and kind of where this thing is going. And in the show notes, this whole exercise we're going to go through is to kind of talk through how we're moving this thing forward and giving some credit along the way, starting with Aaron Wright, who runs the Construction Channel. There'll be a link in the show notes to a little video on teaching it forward and talking through the final presentation. So the way it worked last year is we had all these different sessions and these focus groups that Benny was part of Teach It Forward. And Nathan had, if you go back to the original podcast where Nathan had his magnets out on the podcast studio desk and we were unpacking just common data exchange and how you move those things around. So I'm going to kind of leave it at that as far as what this does. And next year, the theme is like work hard, play hard at the April, and we're doing it the same location as last year. So we'll put all the links to sign up to come to the event. And it's the last year we went out and did pickleball and did this is a fun event. This year they're working on doing like some game show theme stuff. And so what we're doing on these podcasts is growing up, one of my favorite things was the David Letterman top 10 list. And so what we did is just kind of some one-liners from this video to learn and digest this information to teach it forward in a different way. So what I'm going to do is go through the top 10 and have Benny just say a one-liner from that video that then you can go watch that video and then we can unpack that a little bit of what the kind of overall what we got out of that and unpack that a little bit more. What do you say, Benny? You want to go through and do a Dave Letterman top 10?
Let's do it.
All right. Drum roll number 10.
How to measure inexperience in construction.
Number 9.
Unrealistic schedules.
Never.
Number 8.
Designs that can't be built.
Number 7.
Stress from inexperience between disciplines.
Number 6.
Theory versus practice.
Number 5.
need for real life training and learning.
Number four,
train from the root cause.
Number three,
begin with the end in mind.
Number two,
well, we're getting close. Okay, new execution team for review and more prefabrication.
And the number one thing from the video and the summit is
happy contractor with thumbs up, less RFIs and change orders.
So that's a lot of one-liners, but for me, it was the big takeaway is get key stakeholders involved early in the process, which has kind of become this, yeah, of course, but that's hard to do if you're not teaching it forward. So Nathan, you want to kind of unpack some of the your highlights from that and the summit around the Teach It Forward team?
I mean, it was definitely jogging some memories. I was vividly remembering the contractors' very happy thumbs up with just some of these conflicting conversations. I think that just the way that Hamza and Sal and Jared were able to play out the dynamics of just these situations that we hear all the time of, you know, it's almost like the whole women are from what men are from Mars, women are from Venus, whatever it is. Like there's going to be differences in architects, engineers, contractors, and trades. And the more that we can understand those differences, realize where those kind of where the compromise comes and come up with better problem solving strategies, like that is what Teach It Forward is all about. It's really about conflict resolution, not just avoiding the conflict altogether.
Yeah. And for me, I love the video, and it was about how they took role playing. But what's so cool about this conference and being around the table is it's real world role playing, right? So like it's so relatable, and they spent days unpacking that stuff of how to do that. That's what I think, Benny, you guys did a great job. And it's tough to step on the stage and say, okay, here's where we started and here's where we ended for 3 days. That's a tough task to do. And that's where that's why we're honored to be doing these podcasts of kind of continuing to put these threads together.
Well, and shout out to real quick to Josh Bowe and Amanda with Electri, and because then they, without their support and without the research that Amelia with University of Colorado was doing on this cost impact of inexperience. I mean, that's the whole synergy of this, is that this was just one stepping stone in this larger initiative, larger research. And that's really how we want to position this, is that these should be in support of much larger research initiatives like what Electri is doing.
Yeah, when Josh and Nathan came to me with this topic of how do we teach it forward and what we've been looking at, it was just like, wow, this is something I want to be a part of. It was a little bit initially outside of my comfort zone. I was like, oh, and then when we got into it, I was like, wow, this is a lot of the same things that we're dealing with throughout the industry. How do we teach the next generation? How do we teach our current generation these sort of practices to make better construction? So it was great and then, behind it.
The tactics of agile software development very much apply to, you know, good BIM coordination, good, a lot of these topics of how do you best collaborate and coordinate between multiple different parties. I think there's a lot that the software world can teach to industry, but just like manufacturing trying to teach construction, it's like, yes, it's the same, but it's super different. And, you know, we can't try and oversimplify what these rules are, but there are certainly parallels and applications in both, I think.
So Benny, I got to ask, as the OG being involved in all this, and we kind of unpacked a little bit of last year's going into the summit in April of 25, where we'll all be there and excited to meet some new people all coming to the table. What's your perspectives of what is coming out of these AEC integrations? And what would you kind of say to the listening audience that may have never heard of this or not quite sure if they should get involved?
So I think twofold. One, it's we're all doing this together. So coming here, I think we talked about a little bit earlier, it's not coming to a traditional conference where we're just sort of giving presentations, right? We're rolling up our sleeves and we're working. It's one of the hardest conferences I do each year because we're working through, but it's fun. I mean, right? It's a different experience on there. And then from the outcomes, the great thing is we're posting sort of videos, white paper type pieces on what's coming out of here for other people to learn and to be a part of it. But the real magic happens at the conference when it's going. It's the conversations that happen between the architect and the engineer and the subcontractor and someone calling, hey, that's not right. Like let's unpack that. So that's where I think the real learning, yeah, you can get some from the end state, but getting from the beginning state to the end state's where the fun is.
Yeah, and the reality is there never is a beginning or end. It's this evolution of all these handoffs, and that's what I love about this conference, because it's not a trade show where it's just a presentation that's this moment in time that you have to have this perfectly polished and everything's you come to see it's all solved. And I think we're all so burnt out of those type of conferences because that's not how construction works. Hmm. You have to meet the people, the municipalities, and the businesses where they are, and that's what we do here. You come and you let your guard down and you talk through. And I think the mental health part of it is what one of my favorite things of this conference, because the longer I play the great game of construction, the more I realized how fragmented it is. Hmm. And these are people that have lived it and are working that. So if you've been involved in it and you're frustrated, this is a place to come through and share that to help break through unified ceilings together. That's how I see it. And what an honor to have the support of a company like we just discussed, right?
Well, and shout out to DeWalt and Stanley Black & Decker, because shoot, I would not have learned about design thinking and all of these concepts had I not participated in efforts that, I mean, preceded Benny. But no, I think as an organization, huge shout out to what DeWalt and DeWalt Contech has done to push the industry forward. Because I think the more we are learning from other industries and applying these new tactics and seeing kind of what works and what doesn't work, you know, this whole idea of learning from failure is something that is not easy for construction to do. But, you know, when we see others doing it, you know, it makes it that much easier.
Yeah, what an honor. Benny, thank you for teaching it forward and stepping up and continuing to talk through this stuff. As we work to close it out, the questions we always ask on every one of these podcasts of 350 plus times asking this question, it's fascinating. Just like you guys, you know, I started this podcast in 2012, you guys talk about that same kind of time frame where I've been asking the same question. And when I set up this question, because I said when I started this podcast, is like in 3 to 5 years, construction is going to look so different because of all this technology. Now, 10 years later, I'm still saying at the end of the day, it's the people figuring out how to do this. But Benny, I'm really curious, from your perspective, what is your crystal ball when it comes to the future with technology and construction?
I think there's going to be some parts of the construction that are going to move at the same pace or slower, but we're going to see other trades and things that move much faster to robotics and other things to automate. So I think we might have a tale of two worlds as we go over the next 3 to 5 years. But the good news is that the people that will be driving it forward will bring up the rest of the industry is what I see.
That's so well said. And my question I'd want to ask you that I don't think you'd have a crystal ball answer is, well, which ones are going to move faster and which ones are going to move slower? And the answer is none of us know. And that's why we do this conference and we go there, because we map out this stuff to understand which trade-offs you need to make and which valves you need to open and which ones you need to close. And that's going back to our last podcast with Chad of Plexus. He is focused on the subcontractor and tying together with what these other platforms are doing so that we can all move faster together at the right time and help each other to say, slow down. Because that's probably even the more bigger priority, is sometimes you got to move slow to move fast. And how and when you do that, that's the hard part of what Benny just said. There is no crystal ball to answer that question, in my opinion, unless I'm wrong, Benny.
No crystal ball. We're all learning it together.
Well, the final question we always ask before we let you go, and then we'll make sure everyone goes to the show notes, if they're not signed up, to get signed up and reach out to us, of Nathan or I, if you have any questions on if you want to sponsor one of these verticals. This is a great example of what we're doing for those sponsors, right? Like authentically talking about how great Stanley Black & Decker is supporting this cause and what they're doing from within. So if you're listening and want to be involved, Nathan and I would love to talk with you and align that. But this podcast is specifically designed for builders and affiliates to go out there and grow their business. Benny, what is that one thing you want to leave the listening audience to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I think what's next, be inquisitive, listen to podcasts like this. So, I know it's hard. We're so busy in our day to day. How do you block an hour a month, an hour a week to do your own education and looking out there? What are different people doing? And attend events like, you mean like the CPC to sort of, how do you challenge the status quo and thinking? It's going to be really important. And you're going to get a nugget here or there that will help drive your business forward.
I love it. You must make time to work on yourself and on the business, or you're not going to move it forward. And this is the platform for that. What do you say, Nathan?
Amen, brother. Keep it going.
Awesome. Well, thanks for allowing Art of Construction to jump in the middle with you guys and learning. Because at the end of the day, we don't have enough time or money to make all the mistakes ourselves. So it's taking these lessons learned and putting them all together. Benny, thanks so much for stepping up and sharing your story, and can't wait to see you at the summit in April of 25.
Thanks for having me.